1, 2, 1, 2.
3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, then it should be you.
Welcome to Big Questions, Short Answers. I'm Sian.
And I'm Andy, Sian's husband, asking the big life questions.
And possibly adding a little bit of unsolicited advice.
Maybe. This podcast is brought to you by Sian's value-based online course. Visit sianjacquet.com to find out more.
Good morning.
Right. So we're going to share some basically stuff that I suppose of our 35 years of marriage and 38 years of knowing each other, kind of what we've learned from relationships, from work, from stuff that's happened, good and bad. I think one of the things that people would like to know is the biggest thing of the modern generation is stress. Everyone's freaking stressed, right? So you deal with it all the time, whether it's at home, whether it's at work or whatever. So how does you stop that kind of stress level rising, saying, oh, you know, my boss is a dick, or, you know, I've got to earn some more money, or, you know, there's pressures here. What are the processes that people can kind of get through to kind of reduce stress?
I'm looking at you. Who is this man? It's not marry you for start. That would have been me. There's a lot of stress. The big picture answer, and again, this is the world according to Sian, doesn't make me right. What I think has happened is, in the last sort of 10, 20 years, the introduction of a digital world has given us all accessibility to see, hear, and experience things in real time, for the vast majority, without filters. I have a fundamental belief that knowledge and education and learning and all of those things are amazingly fabulous things for human beings to do, right? Let's just take that as read. However, what's happened in the last 20 years is that the world has changed and developed so fast, along with, again, and I'm sure people much cleverer than I will explain this, would be able to explain this in a better way, but so you've got a digital highway that has just got faster and faster and broader and more accessible, which is information. An opinion, actually, which worries me even more. But anyway. And then the next motorway lane, you have got a culture that values very different things. So the pressure and stress that people feel, if you cut all the ack away, it's I must and I should, because we're told we must be doing this and I should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's take some obvious. So you're in your middle to late 20s, you've educated yourself, you've managed to find yourself a job, neither of those things are easy, and you're looking to take the next step in your life that you need to own a property to be a grown-up, right? Now, those are beliefs that you and I were given, our parents, our grandparents, everybody around us, right? If you were not, by your middle to late 20s, if you weren't holding down a stable job and ready, or you should have already bought your first property or on the way to whatever, then somehow you're a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you just look at that as a belief that creates stress, because that isn't true in today's world.
Is it not?
Well, it's not possible, Andy.
Well, don't we all want just to have a house and...
Well, we do, of course we do, right? But the stress is that the world is telling us that I should and I must, whereas the should and must no longer hold water. And the stress, I think, that I see with people, you know, generally, be it in my work or friendships or even family, actually, on a very personal level, is that it's about meeting expectations that other people have put on you. Now, I know that there are days when you get sick of me even mentioning the word, but the way to make yourself feel healthy and the way to create a resilience and an ability to survive the day, the week, the year, the life that you've been given is by making value-based choices, right? If you make choices that are based on what you believe you are and what is right, that alleviates stress. I mean, there are exceptions to every rule. As I open my mouth, I can think of ways that it doesn't. But your question was, how do you survive with the stress? Well, again, you know, I can't sit here and give you some intellectual bibble babble about this equation of doing this or thinking this is going to change it. It's very simple. Go for a walk, enjoy the sunshine, smell the flowers, have gratitude for what you have got, and find ways where you have a soft landing of peace doing whatever it is you need to do, right? And to be honest, you know, even as the words are coming out of my mouth, you know, I'm not good at it.
What, alleviating stress?
Yeah, I'm not. Mm. Yeah?
No, I know that.
Because for a lot of reasons, learned behaviour, you know, shadowing what I've learned, beliefs that don't serve me well. You know, I came from a world where as a woman, unless your day finished at 11 o'clock at night and you were absolutely exhausted because you'd given, done, delivered to everything and everybody, then that wasn't a successful life. Well, I was brought up in that environment. That's what women did. Yeah. And that's what women should do. And you were a good mother and you were a good professional woman if you did that. And I believed that for a long time. And I am still at 61 trying to unravel that and trying to understand that physically and emotionally beating yourself up till you're on empty isn't actually a very good way of living your life every day. Right? So again, stress, and you will hear me say this 1,000 times, you can Google what stress means because there's a clinical definition, there's a spiritual definition, there's a physical definition, there's an emotional definition. It's all very different. And what that definition looks like is different for all of us. So in short, what I would say is that if you want to lead, you want to be a grown-up and you want to be responsible for your life and who you are and how you show up in situations, managing your stress level, the way to do it is to actually do the work, learn what does press my buttons, what does create stress, what am I doing to add jam to the sandwich to make it worse, or what can I do to alleviate that stress and create change. And the people I've watched who have done it in incredibly successful ways, if you look at the arc, there are people who I have encouraged and asked them to seek medical help, yes, to go and speak to experts who can help them work out that stress because they needed a medical intervention to help them move forward. And I think that's an incredibly courageous and wonderful and fabulous thing to do. The basic, simple way of doing it, which actually has, I think, the most profound effect, and I'm guilty of not doing this myself, right, is that you wake up every morning and you start the day, you know, you go for a walk or you do your yoga or you...
I've been doing them.
I know you have. Okay. Mister, I can see your halo going, bing. And there's no two ways about it. You know, it's not... So I'm not even bordering on clever here, you know.
None of this really, I suppose, is clever, but it's that repetition of the information because we seem to, well, yeah, like a little bit of a sieve and forget it real quick. But it's like that repetition of information, just being reminded yourself to actually go off and do this to relieve the stress.
Yeah. And proving to yourself, yeah. I had a client a couple of years ago who very eloquently pushed back when we were talking about this in a session. And she said to me, but the thing is, Sean, I feel like I'm just adding another thing to the list of things I need to do.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I couldn't argue with that. She's absolutely true. And it actually left me, that was a journey of me thinking about, that's how I think about it. Right? And the easiest person to knock off the list is myself.
Right.
Yeah. And in some kind of bizarre, self-depreciating way, you can psychologically tell yourself, well, actually, I can cut those things off my list because it's just about me. I need to do things for other people. I need to do things in other ways.
So we're just going to wind this up because the dog's getting stressed. I can hear him in the corner there. Is there just a one kind of something you can leave us with that will
go for a walk?
Really? Why? Why does that do? Why does that do anything? Why is that?
Well, again, I read once that because we fundamentally know how to walk, we don't have to engage our brain to do it, and we know how to breathe. There's only two things you need to do: is put your foot in front of the other and breathe. Yeah, And the art of it is to calm your mind. Yeah, it's about turning off some of the volume switches. It's about that word being present. Yeah, and walking and just being.
But no distractions.
Well, the distractions can be just observing the world. But that's, you know, if you want to alleviate stress, go for a walk.
Okay. That's the dog.
That's the dog stress.
He wants a walk.
All right. Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Join us next time on Big Questions, Short Answers with Sian Jacquet and me, Andy.
If you have any questions you want to ask, please send them via the website, seanjacquet.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share it with everyone you know.
We really do appreciate you sharing 15 minutes with us.
And if you want to do a bit more learning, go on to Sian's website, seanjacquet.com. There's a course on values to create the life you truly love. I did it, and it really does do what it says on the can.
See you next time.